Action Park Media.
Welcome to a very unique episode of Victory the Podcast. Kevin Connolly, got Emmanuel Shrieky here filling in the number 2 and 3 spots.
Oh,
big seat to fill.
I mean, for real.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
I'm good. Thanks for doing this. You know, Em, I was saying today, like, you are as a reliable and dependable friend that anybody could ever ask for. I'm serious. I mean, it's like, it's just crazy. It's I'm lucky to have you as such a close friend. So thank you,
Kev,
so much.
I feel the same. It's, honey, and also it's a pleasure. Like, you don't understand. When I get that text, I'm like, oh yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I just think
I get to hang with Kev for the day.
That's what Doug always says too. Doug goes, why can't everybody just be as easy as Emmanuel? It's either yes or no or whatever. Why can't we just be as easy as Emmanuel? You know, it's funny. Dylan was going to come in. He's like, yeah, Chief, come on. How many of us do really need to interview Emmanuel? Do we really need 3 guys to interview Emmanuel? And I'm like, well, Kev, Doug's not here, you know. Doug is in Palm Springs. Mm-hmm. And Doug is taking the risk of sounding dramatic. Like, Doug needs a break.
Yeah.
You know?
Because I saw his Instagram where he was like, I am peacing out for the month of May.
Right.
Which also, by the way, happens to be Mental Health Awareness Month.
Mental Health Awareness Month.
And needed to just get off of social media. I think we all need that.
Yeah, we all could use a little. And here's the thing, too, about Doug. Like, one of the, you know, obviously we joke around on the podcast and I give Doug a hard time. But one of the things that Doug does not separate. Doug goes 100%. Mm-hmm. Whether he's on a set or he's on the podcast. It's not like, well, it's just a podcast. Let's, you know, I'm going to dial down the effort. Doug is a 100%er 100% of the time. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, it's easy to kind of burn yourself out. Like, he doesn't separate levels of importance or he, to him, like, the podcast is important. So he wants it the best it can be and all those kinds of things. It's what I admire about Doug, you know, but he need, you know, that said, step away. You know,
take a break.
Right, take a break.
Absolutely.
Play pickleball. He's got the new baby. So it's just you and I.
Yeah, Kev.
How funny is that about Dylan, though? Come on, Chief. We need 3 of us in there. And then he said, I said, well, Doug's not coming. He said, oh, really? Well, you know, I'm still in Westlake. So basically, I couldn't be there until about 5 o'clock in the morning.
There it is.
Yeah,
exactly. No, I would have loved to have seen Kev, but that's okay.
And we're on strike. The writers are on strike.
I know. As of midnight.
As of midnight. So for people listening, you know, at the end of the day, when one person's on strike, everybody's on strike.
Everybody's on strike.
Right. But just because we're not union writers doesn't mean
we're not going to feel it.
We're going to feel it.
Oh, my God.
You said it right out of the gate. Like, first words out of your mouth. You're like, sure. Hell yeah, sure. Might as well come in. You know, we got some time on our hands, right?
Some time. I'm going to be a woman of leisure. That's going to be my tagline.
I've heard you say that a couple times today. Woman of leisure.
It's so funny. I mean, it's really pretentious. But no, but seriously, like,
what choice do you have?
I mean, you will not be
writing or... But some people are acting, like you were saying, Sam, your boyfriend is like,
back to back
with things that were ready to go. People geared that up for the writer's strike. So for people listening, as of 12 o'clock last night, the writers are shut down. So over the last couple of weeks, the strike did seem inevitable. So everybody kind of,
all that material. But Kev, let me ask you something. Do you think that offers will still be coming in during this time, or do you think it would have already shown itself?
You mean offers
just to be in?
Right. Are you going to get a call in 3 weeks about? Yeah. I mean, I think the whole idea is that the writers can't write. Directors can direct and actors can act, but you can't say, hey, I need to do a punch up on the, you know, second act of, you know, Superman and Lois. It's like, they're shut. You never saw people more shut down. Network shows. I mean, Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah.
They're all done. No opening monologues, nothing. It's crazy. And for people listening that don't understand what the strike is about, and it's like, you know, of course, this is one you would be great to have Doug here talking about.
Oh,
but
for sure.
Essentially, you know, the streaming thing was a gray area for a long time.
Yeah.
Right? We didn't really know what was
since its inception. We've never figured it out.
And when you think about it, Scorsese's movie with Leo and De Niro is going to be streaming. They have to figure out the pieces of the pie for writers, directors, and other actors. So this was, have you lived through a strike before?
Yeah. Actually, what was the last, 2008 or 2000?
Was it actor strike?
10.
Was it the actors?
Was it the actor strike?
Okay, look at Dave. Dave, you could jump in here. It's just Emmanuel and I. It's a little loose. Nobody's going to get mad at you.
Well, so I think the writer's strike happened in 2007, 2008.
Yes, that's the one. When did I do Zohan? I remember it came out.
Hold on, let me go to my notes. Emmanuel, your IMDb is fucking wild, dude. We're going to get into that. But it was like,
oh, one of those moments in my life that I think about so often, like coming off of an Adam Sandler film, it was a success at the box office, right?
Right.
And the strike hits.
Oh, after it came out?
Yes.
So you were having like a moment
that
at the strike.
That was
happened.
Like... Crickets.
Irish crickets?
Irish crickets.
Wow, I did not know that.
Yeah.
I did not put that
really
together.
Unfortunate. But so, yeah, I remember it. It was brutal.
Right. You know, and it's just with all that we've been through as an industry.
Like, come on,
COVID.
Man.
And you worked through COVID. You worked through COVID.
But even that, you know, like, you just go, gosh, guys, like, do you know what it is, Kev? You know what the sickening part is that it's steeped in greed, and it's really awful because you're like, there are humans that run the studios.
Right.
What the fuck is wrong with you people?
Well, like, they're not going to offer it up. Like, this had to happen, I guess is the point,
right? It had to happen, but does it have to be like...
Like, couldn't they have gotten out in front of it, right?
Yes.
If we know that we're striking on May 1st,
yes.
Like, what are you doing on April 10th?
Yes.
Right.
Exactly. Like, couldn't we have figured this out? Could we have a break? Like, I feel like things in life, like, I mean, no matter who you ask, whether you're talking about interest rates, whether you're talking about, like...
Let's not talk about interest
rates. Right?
Please.
Right?
That's
terrible. The state of things is so intense.
Right.
And then you add this into the mix and people are going to suffer. It's
really
awful.
For me, Hollywood, and which is what I could speak to because it's where we live, it's just been...
No.
One disaster of a shit show after another since COVID. I mean, it's like, I'm not surprised.
Yeah,
it's par for the course. And maybe this is like the end of the purge to where we can just get back to business as usual.
It would be great. I hope you're right.
Last season of Superman and Lois with COVID testing and all that kind of stuff, right?
Oh, yeah. Right to the end. Yeah.
Right to the very end. Every day?
Every other day? Every other day.
Right.
So we would test 3 times a week.
Wow.
And then, but some of the protocols changed a little bit.
Like, do you have to wear your mask when you're not?
Yes. Well, it depends. Like, the actors didn't. The crew did, but it depends what department. So, because really, you know, it was just like trying to keep everybody safe, but especially, you know, there was the A zone, B zone,
right.
C zone.
Right.
So,
essentially, you want to not... For reasons of being able to continue the production, you got to protect the actors.
Of course.
Right? So, I mean, like, truthfully...
And we're the vulnerable ones because we're the ones that are, you know, out there without our masks, hours on end, in a cooped up space. So we're, like, trusting our crew to be...
Right.
As safe as possible.
You know, when it first hit, even here at Action Park, we got gathered everybody around and said, listen, we have to make a decision about whether or not we're going to look out for each other or shut it down. Because we have a responsibility to each other to not get each other sick. But it was funny, Doug, because when we were shooting Ramble On, I'm like, Doug, what would happen if you got COVID? He's like, you would direct it through FaceTime. Like, I would be on FaceTime and, you know, it's just,
wow.
it's a wild time. Because, what happens
time.
If the director gets it?
You know,
what happens if the I mean.
We had that. We had that on our show where our director, one of the directors got COVID halfway through the episode.
God.
Our line producer, who's amazing, he jumped in, directed the other half of the episode. You were like, the shit's still real.
I would have said, Doug, I'm going to take this in a different direction. Sorry you can't come to the set today, but I'm going to take this. I see the scene a different way than you do, Doug.
Oh, my God.
But, Emmanuel, I want to talk, because obviously you and I could talk Entourage for a million years. But
a million.
We were talking about doing the Emmanuel deep dive, and we pulled up your IMDb, and I'm quite frankly baffled and confused as to how you could have as many credits as you can have. What was your first gig, Em?
But wait, but Kev, I mean,
I knew you. I really
want to know how many credits that you have on your IMDb.
I don't think I have more than you. I don't think I have more
than
you.
I think that you'd be surprised. I promise you. Yeah. Yeah. Because you
know.
Worked as a kid.
A little more picky. No, I'm kidding. No, I mean, you get movie offers. I do not. So Kung Fu, The Legend Continues. Was that your first job?
That was one of them.
Is that what got you your SAG card?
No, that was still in Canada. I didn't come to the States until my early 20s.
Really?
In fact, it was Detroit Rock City that ended up bringing me sort of out here and Snow Day, which were like much later. But I think I have so many credits because I worked in Canada when I was 16.
Detroit Rock City, 99.
Mm-hmm.
So that was your...
And then I came here in 2000.
Who were you in Detroit Rock City?
I played Barbara with the big fro, and she gets tied to the guardrail.
I got it, by the way. That's a good rewatch.
Good rewatch.
Right?
So good.
If you're looking for something to watch, I can rewatch that now that I know
so
you're
good.
In there. I'm sure you pop up in lots of stuff.
And by the way, Melanie Lynskey is in it. Great actors.
Right.
Eddie Furlong was in it. Natasha Lyonne.
Well, it was a high-end movie.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that was a big one for you to get.
Yeah. Which, funny enough, I got in Toronto. I wasn't even here. I hadn't started working here yet.
Right.
I did a lot in Toronto. Everything films there, so you know.
Right, so you could work as a local hire, and you get, and they have to, I mean, listen, that's fair, but that's a good one. And then let's talk about Wrong Turn.
Which apparently is having
next week, another
20th anniversary.
By the way, it's 2003, so it's 20 years old, Wrong Turn.
Yes.
How was that? Was that the first one? Because they've done 10 of them, right?
Yeah, it was the first one. Of I think 7 of them.
But I think they've rebooted it, and then it's like a different... It's like show that you
I've
even
never
know.
Felt older in my life.
But you're in the first one.
Yes, the very first.
Did you die?
Oh, yeah.
You died badly.
In fact, you will appreciate this. Stan Winston was still alive.
Ooh, for everybody, Stan Winston is the godfather of monster masks.
100.
Like if Stan Winston was making your stuff, right?
He was making it. Like he was in the room.
Oh, he was there.
He was.
Wasn't like his company.
No.
Stan Winston was on set.
He was on set. He was one of the producers. I did, I went to the studio out here in Los Angeles. Stan was on set with us the entire time. Like it was a really, in that sense, like super monumental in the horror world. It was like, whoa.
I always wanted to do one good horror movie. I never got to, and by the way, I'm still available to do a great, I would love to do a great horror movie, but that one's like, that's a good bucket list check. Wrong Turn,
it's a good one.
It's been around. They're doing a bunch of them. How did you die?
I got axed in the, like this, in the mouth.
Oh, you got your face cut off.
And the lower half of my body drops to the ground. So from here down gets disconnected.
And it's just like the top part of your
head. On the axe. And Stan was, you know, he would say that it's one of my favorite deaths.
Did he say that?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was good.
That's amazing. All right.
You have 44 credits to your name on IMDb.
She got double the credits I had.
I know,
Dave. Why would you say that?
She has a credit for Victory of the Podcast if you look on it.
Oh, see?
Very smart, Dave. Very smart. Good producing.
But why is there only one when I've done more than that?
That's a good question. I mean, who knows? I mean, is it IMDb? Is that like Wikipedia where people update it or does it do it itself?
I think it does it itself because I never have.
Right. I'm looking at this. This is wild. So there's that. And then after Wrong Turn, what's the next big one? That you must have gotten a little heat off of that. No?
What year are we?
2003.
After that, I think it was like, well, then there was, you know, there was a couple. There was like On the Line with Lance Bass at like the NSYNC, at the height of NSYNC.
On the Line,
there was
Abby.
There was In the Mix with Usher, which at the height of Usherism,
right.
Like it was wild.
Right. I think like that was what the reference we had for you. Was that, does that make sense timeline-wise that you would have been coming off In the Mix with Usher when Entourage came around?
Yes.
Possible, right?
Yes. I actually think so.
How was that?
Oh, it was so fun. Chaz Palminteri was my dad.
Did you dance?
A little bit. There's a club scene.
You love dancing.
I love dancing.
I always tell people, Emmanuel is one of those people that actually, I've seen him in a million clubs with Emmanuel where like this girl is really dancing. She's not dancing because she feels the music. You actually dance because you feel the music.
I do.
It's crazy.
Too much.
And then after sex, what was that? Who was?
Oh my God, Eric Amadio.
Eric Amadio, who's now like a big shot. Eric Amadio.
Snowfall. He, and then that after sex, my God, that was Mila Kunis, Zoe Saldana.
He was always a grinder, that kid, man.
Oh, yeah.
Always a grinder.
He doesn't live here anymore, though.
Making his own movies for $5 after sex.
Yep. What year was that?
2007.
Oh, wow.
What about August? Look at that radio sounds. You don't even know what I'm talking about. Does that mean anything to you?
It does.
You're like, it sounds familiar. Well, same year as Zohan.
Oh, it was in India that I did in New York.
Right.
Yeah.
Probably. Sounds pretty forgettable since you didn't remember, but you looked at me like I had 12 heads. Let's talk about Zohan. So it's popular, right? Entourage is popular.
Yeah.
You probably landed on the short list, right? Like, hey, these are the girls that we like, right?
No.
Did you read for it?
Yes, but it wasn't a short. In fact, I don't know if I've not told you this story before.
Maybe.
It's very weird. It was weird because Selma Hayek was originally cast.
Oh, really?
For the part that I played. And she got pregnant and they had to find somebody. And at the time, whatever year that was, 2008, right?
Yep, 2008.
Okay. So 2008.
According to IMDb. Internet Movie Database.
Adam Sandler and team, they wanted to find... Listen, Salma Hayek was cast, so they wanted to find somebody who could act opposite Adam Sandler.
By the way, tough act to follow.
Big deal.
Tough act to follow.
Right? I mean, come now.
Right. It's like we got Salma Hayek. Like, where do we go? Where do you go from there?
Where
right?
do you go from right. there? So
it's almost like not even fair.
It's not. It's really not. So let's just say that the gods
were
smiling.
It's like Christian Bale's dropped out, so Connolly is going to have to be the guy, and everybody's just going to have to live with it. So it was a last-minute thing, so it moved pretty quickly.
No, so it actually didn't. It was actually just this weird convergence of things. I had a general with Heather Perry out on the lot at Happy Madison when she was there. She's a general. And she's looking at me and she's like, I need you to come with me. And then she introduces me to Dennis Dugan, our director. And then we take the cart and we drive by Adam playing basketball on the court.
Of course,
just to say hi.
Just a casual.
Right? Just like a hey. And then... Dennis, and at the time, I was actually shooting a film in Vancouver with Cole Hauser. And at the time, Dennis...
Was that called Tortured or
yes,
Becky?
Tortured.
Tortured. See, I got my research.
Yes.
So you were doing Tortured.
So I was doing Tortured. And so Dennis Dugan's like, great. He's the nicest man ever, Kev. And he was like, great. So, you know, what can you read? And literally, I was like, 10 days? Like, I was doing a film.
Well, it's always good to be unavailable because you're working.
Well, exactly.
Doesn't hurt.
But also, too, I had to audition with a Palestinian accent. So you know me. I'm, like, very diligent.
Right.
And I wasn't going to do it half-assed. So I had
to,
like,
get in trouble not to. Yeah, of course.
For sure. So then I auditioned. I auditioned twice. And then apparently... Apparently, Adam called around town. He called around town asking about me just to, you know.
Character checks.
Make sure.
Because he's one of those guys that is in the life's too short category.
Yeah.
I want to work with people that are cool, that have fun, right? He's Adam Sandler. He can do whatever he wants. I need to know that you're cool or we're not.
Absolutely.
Right? Totally.
Absolutely.
You know, it's funny.
Are you friends with him?
No, I've met him in
You've
passing.
You've met him.
Yeah, but I wouldn't say
we're God, you
I
would just
say
love
we're
him
friends.
So much.
You know, it's crazy. People, you know, again, to people listening, the general meeting, right? Mm-hmm. Which is basically the worst kind of meeting that you can have.
It's such like a needle in a haystack. Like it never.
That might be the best general meeting story I've ever heard.
I mean,
so a general meeting is like, okay, so-and-so likes Emmanuel. Heather Perry, who's a mutual friend of Emmanuel and mine, I actually know her personally very well for many years. She says, hey, you know what? I just want to have a general meeting. So we're not talking about anything specific.
Right.
Right? Just we'll sit face to face with her, see
what's what.
She on drugs?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
You know, it's and then usually 99.9% of the time you're like, it never hurts to make a connection, but rarely does a general meeting lead to something. But yours led to a golf cart ride to buzz by the Sandler basketball game.
Can you
and meet the director and then read and got the job?
Yeah.
So that's called running out the ground ball.
I mean,
you got it right. Well, yeah, it's like it's following through. Like you went on a general.
Yeah.
And had you blown that general off?
Yeah.
Because like, somebody asked me about a general, I'm like, come on, like how general?
I know.
Like we think, is there something in the stratosphere that we're talking about?
I mean, exactly. Or is it one of those, we'd like to be in business with you? How many times have you heard that?
Right.
It's like, oh, awesome. Okay.
So do you feel like, you're looking at her, do you feel like you see her have the thought like, holy shit, this is crazy. She could probably do Zohan. Did that kind of happen in the meeting?
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Right.
And it was such like a whirlwind that I was like, yeah, okay, sure. Let's go meet.
Right.
You know, so weird. I always feel like in life, Kev, do you relate to this? Like sometimes you're just like, I don't know where I was. I don't know how it happened, but I feel like things just happened to me. And then like in hindsight, you go, whoa, that was wild.
Yeah.
Like a lot of your life.
Yeah. No, you know, you look back at it and you're like, wow, that happened.
Yeah.
I mean, I think about, He's Just Not That Into You.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't think I had any chance to get the movie, especially after reading. I'm like, well, I can tell you what's not going to get me the movie, you auditioning. So I'm going to fucking just have to plant my feet and say, they're like, they're not going to just offer you the movie. Like, I'm like, listen, I'll go in for the meeting, but I can't read. My nerves were not at a place where I could handle it. And I was able to finagle
the
offer without reading. Because if I would have read, if I would have read, I would have gotten the job. Because I'm a terrible, terrible, terrible. You're a great auditioner. You like it.
I've trained myself.
To like it. Really? Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, Kev, I get super anxious too.
Right.
Really, like sometimes anxiety can be such a beast. Sometimes on any given day, you wake up and you feel like shit. Your self-esteem is low. You walk into a room and you're like, oh yeah, okay, as if. And like, whatever. Or sometimes it's as simple as like walking in the room and the people you're auditioning for could care less. And you're like, okay, well, fuck you, and fuck you. This is my day. This is my time.
Right.
And like, when you've been in the business for as long as we have, you know, you think like, oh, it would be so nice to just be received like warmly. That's it. Just make me feel comfortable. Let's work this out.
Like, is this a jerk off audition?
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Like, yes. You don't want a jerk off audition.
Yes. Exactly.
Right? Like, I'm not saying, I know I got to read, but 100. I'm coming in there as like somewhat established, right?
Yes. Because
there's a difference.
But wait. I had a massive audition moment.
When you went to read for Leo and Scorsese, did I talk you off the, I had to have a little pep talk. I had to talk you off the ledge on that one.
But remember, because my dad was in the hospital.
Oh, that's right.
Like emotionally, that was one of those moments that I was telling you.
What movie was that?
Wolf of Wall Street.
Was it Wolf of Wall? Are you sure?
To play his wife. Yes. That the Broadway,
the original wife.
The original wife. The like, Italian-American, whatever.
And you actually like walked in and Leo and Scorsese are sitting there like, oh, hi. And you know Leo Lewis was like, hi, Evan.
I just was like, what is happening right now?
Ellen Lewis. Tough. And they're all so nice, but it's just a brutal room.
Nice.
I mean, it's like, out-of-body experience.
Can
you imagine the things they must see from a meltdown standpoint?
I can't.
Because
honestly,
they have to take that into consideration.
I mean, they have to. I mean, listen, when I was flying from Toronto to New York, because I was there with my dad, he was in the hospital. I left the hospital, Kev, like heaving, crying. Like, I couldn't believe that I was leaving and going to do this, like,
was he
screen
still alive
test.
At this point? Or he was, it
yeah,
was
yeah,
like
yeah.
the end of the road, though, right? It was like very, at the very end.
Very,
right?
It was end of the road, but he was still alive. And, you know, it was one of those, like, he'd have good days, he'd have bad days. But so just, like, leaving, I felt sick to my stomach and I couldn't believe that I was leaving. And I got to the airport in Toronto. I'm at Air Canada. I'm in the waiting room, like tears streaming down my face. Like, I can't even control myself. Jake Gyllenhaal is on the plane. I don't even know him. I don't know him.
You're crying.
I'm crying.
He's like, is everything okay?
He literally comes up to me. Right. He's like, are you okay?
Right.
And I was like, no, I don't want to go.
I've been on the other end of your cries.
I know.
Many times. By the way, that was a great impression of you crying, because that's what it sounds like.
But wait, this is so good. But this is getting back to walking in a room with Marty and Leo. So
you call him Marty now?
Well, you know.
You slept in, but from let's call him Martin from here on in.
Yes. Martin Scorsese. One time.
Martin and Leonardo.
That's right.
Martin and Leonardo.
So I'm on the plane. Jake is my seatmate.
Oh God, I'm sure he loved that. He's like, I wish this girl wasn't so bummed out right now. She's really hot.
No. So we start talking.
It was
great because he was distracting me.
Right.
And he was on the plane with Melanie Laurent. They were filming like a Adam McGuigan movie in
Toronto.
But at
a certain point, you said, hey, I'm going in to read for this thing, right?
She was like, why do you? Because it was like,
of course.
So I tell him, and he's like, what? And I'm like, yeah, I have a screen test tomorrow. And I'm like, he's like, that is like a dream for me.
Right.
Jake Gyllenhaal says to me.
Right.
And I'm like, no, I know. It's wild.
and then you're also at that thing where it's like, come on, we both know that your dad wanted you to go on that audition.
1,000%. And like Ellen Lewis knew what was
going on.
Right. You know, but I mean, honestly, it was an extraordinary experience.
Right.
It was
probably the best thing for you at the time. Talk about if ever there was a distraction, right?
Ever there was a distraction. And you know, Kev, it was weird. Like, let's be real. You know, I'm going in for Leonardo.
And Martin Scorsese.
But in particular, like, it's your best friend. I've been going to the club.
There's definitely a personal connection which makes it probably worse, right?
For me, 100%. You know, because I was just
plus,
like,
how could you make
this? Is a
you,
moment I
how
dreamed
you impress
about.
Those people? How are you going to impress those people?
Tell me.
I don't know. I wasn't in any of the movies. I would, when I did, the day after, this is a weird fact, the day my dad died at night. 11 o'clock at night. Mm-hmm. The next day, I had an audition for Far and Away.
Oh, my God.
Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman.
Oh, my God.
And I went and did it. I did the audition. I obviously did not get the role. But I was just in no shape to do it because it was so obvious. I mean, if I was 16, you know, my dad died. I'm like in there. Like, same thing, out of body experience, sort of like just kind of watching myself. And then knowing that everybody knows it was.
I know, it's so
it weird. Thing.
Sometimes I forget how many parallels we have. It's crazy.
Right.
Like, even age wise,
right.
It's weird.
We're close in age.
We are close in age. But you lost your dad when you were 16.
Yeah.
I lost my mom when I was 16.
Yep.
You lost your mom later. Yep. I lost my dad later.
Our parallels.
Isn't it crazy?
And I, you know, yeah, I was there for that. I remember you asking my advice and not having an answer because how good could the audition be? Right, where they're going to go, oh my God, you know, I mean, like, I don't know. It's like that is something where it's so specific.
It's so specific. The only
especially
thing,
with those guys, they're crazy people.
That's it. The only thing that I can tell you is that, like, I know that it actually went decent.
Right, you didn't go in and trip over yourself.
No,
right.
Not at all.
Well, that's
and
really
I,
all you can.
And I think it actually was, I think they screen test me and then the girl who got it.
Right.
And that was it. It was a small part in the movie.
Right. But there are, by the way, there are no small parts. Especially, well, Martin Scorsese doesn't cast small parts. Like, if you have one line, he's going to run you through the ringer, which is why he's, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But no, it was just so, so cool. But yeah. And then remember, Kev, when, what was the chess movie that Toby did?
Pawn Sacrifice.
Screen tested with Toby for the director.
By the way, that might be worse. Toby and Ed Zwick? It's a pretty big 1-2 punch in itself.
I'm like,
they're in
guys.
They're looking for perfection. These guys are
crazy.
In there looking for perfection. Yeah, that's wild. Victory the Podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Let's face it, Sometimes multitasking can be overwhelming, like when your favorite podcast is playing and the person next to you is talking and your car fan is blasting, all while you're trying to find the perfect parking spot. But then again, sometimes multitasking can be easy, like quoting with Progressive Insurance. They do the hard work of comparing rates so you can find a great rate that works for you even if it's not with them. Give their nifty comparison tool a try and you might just find getting the rate and coverage you deserve is easy. All you need to do is visit Progressive's website and get a quote with all the coverages you want, like comprehensive and collision coverage or personal injury protection. Then you'll see Progressive's direct rate and their tool will provide options from other companies all lined up and ready to compare, so it's simple to choose the rate and coverages you like. Press play on comparing auto rates. Quote at Progressive.com to join over 29 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. When you do something like Zohan and you're going to do the accent, let's talk about accents a little bit. Because one of my great career regrets is my accent in The Notebook. And you can't be half pregnant.
No.
And that's the biggest thing. And an accent like that, the Palestinian accent, you really have to go for it.
Oh.
I felt like I walked a very safe line with my accent.
Was it Southern?
South Carolina, yeah.
South Carolina. So, yeah, but you're so good in that movie.
Yeah, but if you look, I'm sort of, I just didn't, by the way, and it's all these like terrible cliche acting terms. I just wasn't fully committed because I didn't know how much I believed in it because I'm so East Coast.
Like, I know.
Even worse than that, like it's the Long Island accent, which is the worst accent of all, right? And now you're
I mean,
doing
it's
like
the greatest,
the Southern,
but it's like the hardest to lose.
And,
yeah.
But it's hard to do when you're, by the way, Margot Robbie. I get credit where credit is due.
Unreal.
She's like everybody I went to high school with. She nailed that New York accent.
It was
fucking from New Zealand or Australia or wherever she's from. So did you take classes before?
No, I didn't take classes. I, well, you know, once upon a time when you would work on a studio film.
Back in the good old days?
Back in the good old days where everything was handled. I remember, Kev, like, I had an assistant. I had, like, that the studio was giving you. They had a dialect coach. And he was amazing. He's actually—
But this is when you got the job.
This is when I got the job.
Did you audition with the accent?
I did.
You did. Now this is a different thing. Because once you get the job, you get the vote of confidence.
Yeah.
And then you're like, all right, now I can go to work with the professionals. But like, what do you do for the audition?
Gosh, man. Do you know that I don't remember?
You just did your best. Or what you
I mean,
was,
I did my best. Probably I would have gone online for sure. Probably I would have gone to see a dialect coach.
At least one or two sessions.
For
with the
sure.
Dialect coach.
For sure.
Certainly between auditions.
Absolutely. Right? But yeah, kind of, I just don't remember. Isn't that weird?
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, it's one audition.
But I do remember like the process of like the accent once I did get the job was, I mean, oh my God, we worked so hard, so many hours doing that.
And it's also nice to have somebody who, like you said, it's professional hired by the studio.
Yes.
Who is walking around with earphones, headphones, not much different than what we're listening to. And it's not watching.
No.
Not looking at the monitor. They're literally closing their eyes and they're listening to your accent.
But you know what, Kev? He wasn't even on set. Like, that's how much time that we had. He wasn't even on set on the day, but he would call me and he'd be like, if you need to run the lines. He's an amazing actor. His name is Waleed Zuaider. And he's half Palestinian. And we worked together and it was great.
Right.
But he just made himself like so available. And like, it just somehow worked. Like we had prep time. It wasn't like you book a movie and then 5 days later you're on the set. Like it was proper.
You had some time.
Yeah.
Those days are over.
Over.
For sure. Right? All right. I'm going to read off some titles. Stop me.
Okay.
Okay. Zohan, obviously. Cadillac Records.
Ooh, great one.
Well, let's talk about it.
What is it? That's Adrian Brody, Beyonce, Mos Def.
Are you friends with Beyonce?
No.
If you were in an elevator with Beyonce, would she remember you from Cadillac Records?
I'd have to remind her. But I did go up to Jay-Z and I said, I did a film with your wife. And he was like, we just watched it the other day.
Are you just kidding? Is he for real?
I mean, I'm going to say it was for real.
Of course it was. Why would he make that
He took
up?
A picture. I mean, I was.
Jay-Z took a selfie with
dying.
You?
Dying. Yeah. Yeah.
So Cadillac Records, Robot Chicken.
Mm-hmm. Fun.
I did one of those
as well. Yeah.
I have that on my resume, Dave. You pull that up on my IMDb. Women in Trouble. Now, this is Sebastian
Gutierrez. That's right.
That's right. Carla Gugino.
Exactly. And that was the first of three that we did together.
Right.
Yeah.
So
that we met from Entourage.
Carla Gugino, Emmanuel and mine's favorite, her husband, Sebastian, who's a writer director, like, God bless them. They go out and it's like, look, I'm going to write and direct this movie.
Yeah.
You're going to star in it. We're going to get all of our friends.
Yeah. All our fabulous friends.
All of our very bankable movie star friends. And they go and they just do, they just do it, man.
They do it.
Love that about
it. It's amazing. And they were such great experiences, all of them.
I went to the-
One of the premieres.
Premiere of Women in Trouble.
No, of Girl Walks Into a Bar at the Arclight Theater.
That's what it was. Yeah. Girl Walks Into a Bar.
That. And I was playing a stripper. Do you remember? I do remember.
Okay. Taking Chances.
Justin Long. So fun.
Who are you in that? Lucy, is that you on the thumbnail?
Yeah.
Is that you on the thumbnail?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. You're on the cover of this one.
Yeah.
Taking Chances. How was that? I know you and Justin are friends.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff.
He's so great. And Kier O'Donnell. It was three of us. It used to be called Patriotville. And we were shooting in Rock Hill, South Carolina, and it was August.
Hot.
But it was a really fun, great, and I did a lot of indies.
Tom Cool?
Clifton Tom Cool. Collins and Mila Kunis.
How many movies have you done with Mila?
Just two, and barely. There are no small parts. This was just like a fun friend thing.
Right. Okay. What about... Ooh, that's just a voiceover. You've done some voiceover stuff. Mm-hmm. Thundercats, mm-hmm. Tron.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. 5 Days of War, 2011.
Rennie Harlan. That was awesome. Rupert Friend, Richard Doyle, and myself.
Rupert Friend's a great actor.
He's great. That was an experience. Epic.
Rupert Friend, if anybody hasn't, he was on Homeland. Handsome.
So handsome, so cool.
He's super British, right?
He's a Brit. Right. Him and Richard.
Those guys always trip me out when their accents, they're so good.
It's so wild.
And then you start talking to them
and
who are you, dude?
Oh, yeah.
Who are you? Right?
And I'll tell you a quick story about that movie. It was amazing. You know, Rennie Harlan is a very, very notorious action actor, right? Like he does action films, and he's like the Mighty Finn, we used to call him. He's like this big from Finland.
Rennie Harlan did Cliffhanger with Stallone, Long Kiss Goodnight.
He's like big movie guy, right?
Yes. But kind of will try to, not quite Michael Bay, he's like pretended to care about performance.
Right.
Rennie Harlan-ish.
Right. Yes.
Right?
Yes.
He passed away, didn't he?
No.
Oh, is he not? Okay,
no.
Sorry.
He actually has a film coming out. But what was really cool was that we were shooting in Georgia, like former Soviet Union.
Right. Georgia, not Atlanta.
Not Atlanta. And it was only a few years after their 5-day war. So the whole place was still quite traumatized. And we had this scene where there was jet fighters flying overhead. And it was one of the most amazing things I've ever seen. Andy Garcia played Mikhail Shakisvili, who was the president of Georgia. And Rennie Harlan is there with his walkie-talkies, his megaphones. And he is orchestrating fighter jet planes, bombs, things. And he says to all of us, like all of us actors, almost like schooling us, he was like, you are never going to do this again. He's like, this is almost done. This will all be
fighter jets and bombs.
No, because meaning it'll all be green screen.
Oh, yeah.
Like we
which
had
it would be
the
now,
feeling.
You know, it's right.
It was terrifying.
Right.
It was
actually
it was
happening
there.
In real life. It's easier to react to that because that's right.
It was wild.
Yeah.
It was really wild.
Well, it's true, because now a good portion of that would be on a green screen. 100%. I haven't had to do that on any kind of a level yet. Have you had to do that with a green screen?
Well, Superman and Lois is pretty...
Right, but create, you know, wind. No, like, to create that in front of a green screen, it's a different, you know, it's a different kind of
it's
acting as
well.
It's
a whole beast, yeah.
Yeah, Rennie Harlan, you know, it's funny. I also am thinking about how long we've known each other. I remember that. I remember you being up for the Rennie Harlan movie and getting the Rennie Harlan, you know. I'm just now putting titles.
Right. To the timeline.
To these timelines. Girl walks into a bar.
Yeah.
That's the one went to the premiere.
Yeah.
Electra Lux. That was the third installment of and Sebastian and Carla.
Yeah.
13. Were you in the movie 13?
Yeah.
Like the cool indie one?
Yeah. With Jason Statham.
Okay. Not the young girls. Not the coming of age 13.
No, not the coming of age. No. This was 13 with, oh my God, Kev, you love every actor in this movie.
But it's like all like guys, Jason Statham.
Gangster. Well, Rick Schwartz produced it.
Oh, okay.
And it was a remake of actually a Georgian director had done this film that like killed. It was about Russian roulette.
Right.
And it was called 13. And the oh my God.
I saw it.
It was really good.
I think I saw it. Jesus Christ. Yeah.
It was like dark. Really dark.
And who directed that?
This Georgian director that I'm blanking on his name right now.
Of course. You're blanking on his name. You're blanking. You're blanking.
I'm sorry.
You've done, that's 87 credits.
I had COVID.
87 credits. You had COVID. Killing Jesus.
Oh.
Killing Jesus.
That was really fun. Morocco. The Atlas Mountains.
And who did you play?
I played Queen Herodia.
Right.
Do you know who she is in the Bible? She was married to, oh my God.
Dave is probably on Instagram. I wouldn't count.
I was looking on the IMDb. I was looking for stuff.
Queen Herodia. Anyway, she was very evil. She gave birth to Salome in the Bible.
Okay.
Who was, you know, like a bit of a temptress, I don't know,
right.
Later. Herodia was famous for killing John the Baptist.
Did she kill John the Baptist?
She ordered his death, that his head be put on a plate.
By the way, John the Baptist, my favorite biblical character.
Really?
Yeah.
The Baptist
baptized Jesus.
Oh my God.
John the Baptist.
So look it. That's how.
Bad.
How crazy is mofo. That? I know.
That's wild. But that was, let me ask you this. Did you feel, is there anything weird about doing a movie like that? Or once you get on set, it's business as usual?
Well, it was a dream, really, because A, I'm in Morocco. B, I'm doing a period piece.
Like a well-funded.
Well-funded. It was National Geographic.
Right.
And like, it was Ridley Scott. You know what I mean?
Was it Scott-free production?
It was Scott-free.
Right.
It was Scott-free. Some of our locations we shot where, because, you know, Scott-free has like a, basically like a studio in Ouarzazate, which is over the Atlas Mountains. So where they shot like Angelina Jolie movie, where they shot like all these movies, Gladiator, like all kinds of crazy things. So we had those as our sets. But it was really cool because, Kev, I love, my favorite, I think, is doing period.
Right. Like, takes you back, the wardrobe fittings.
All of it. You just like completely lose yourself.
You just get on set. You're like, where am I?
Amazing.
Right.
So that was really, really cool. And I learned a lot, by the way.
What, acting-wise?
No, just
about the Bible.
Just about the Bible and Christianity and all the things. It was really wild.
Next on here, and I don't know if this order looks like. This actually might have been before Killing Jesus, but the Cleaners, right?
So, oh, yeah.
Cleaners was a Sony Crackle TV show that you actually went in on as a producer as well.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
So how does that... Is that what sweetens the pot for you? They're like, hey, we want you to do this, but we also want you to come on as a producer.
Yeah, that was awesome. That was a very real producing experience. Like, I really
learned. Like, you really produced it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And it was really fun. And, you know, at the time,
it's nice to have a little skin in the game.
It's nice.
Producer, like, you know,
it's so nice.
Being on conversations that you would not normally be
creatively and otherwise. And sometimes you're like, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing, but I'm just going to go on instinct. But then you're like, no, actually, I do know what I'm doing because I've been doing this. Right. You just put on another hat,
right?
As you well know.
Right. But you're been doing this long enough. You're entitled to have opinions on whether or not a location works or whatever. Right. Yeah, people don't want to give themselves that credit. Some people want to give themselves too much credit, think they can do everything.
Yeah.
But
that was really, really fun. And at the time, that was actually post Entourage, and I really was so gung-ho to do it because it was such a different character than what people were, you know, seeing me as. That was really cool.
Well, we have to skip around a little bit because we'd be here forever going through your stuff, but I remember that, by the way, now I'm basically going on my
I can't believe, by the way, that we're doing a deep dive.
I love the deep dive. I remember The Mentalist.
Yeah.
So what did you do? You did a full season of The Mentalist?
I did 8 episodes of The Mentalist.
8 episodes.
Yeah, that was extraordinary.
Right.
That was like, whoa.
Did Hugh Laurie love you?
No, Simon Baker.
Oh, Simon Baker. Did Simon Baker love you?
We had really good, working juju. That's another, you say like, oh, I'm good in the room. Kev, it's just not true. Again, this was
choked on your Mentalist audition?
We choked? No, you've never heard of a choke this bad.
Oh. I've choked pretty bad a bunch of times.
We got to do
it. But you got the job, Ed.
We got to do it like a choke episode.
A choke episode.
Because, oh my God, this one was epic. But anyways, it doesn't matter. For another episode, shocking that I got it. Awesome part.
It was a great role.
I got to play great, like batshit.
Right.
But like in this like cool, kind of young, unexpected way. And then Simon Baker directed one of the episodes. It was awesome. And you know what I didn't know, which is so cool? It was one of like the top rated shows in France. And as
it was a huge show. It was a top rated show here.
But in France, it was like on the cover of magazines.
Right.
The Mentalist. I get sent like one of these things and it's like Simon Baker and me on the cover.
Right.
And you know, I'm wanting to break into European stuff more. And so like that was really cool.
Yeah, hold on a second. What's happening? Hey, Dave, spit it out. What do you got?
So I was saying, it's relatable to Ramble On when she did Super Troopers 2.
That's great. We are going to get to that, Dave.
The money for
and
that.
Dave, Dave, don't go being a producer and shit back there, buddy. Good work. Thanks for reminding me, Dave. Good stuff. Super Troopers 2.
Super Troopers 2.
Crowdsourced.
Yes.
So for people that don't understand what that is, it's like these guys saying, hey, we want to make the sequel.
Yep.
We just don't have the money. So walk me through the crowdsourcing and Super Troopers 2.
I mean, listen, those guys have been the Super Troopers 1 was 10 years before. The fans were rabid.
Right.
It's 420, it's pot, it's weed, it's all the things.
Easy to watch, it's too challenging,
come on.
Funny.
It's Broken Lizard. I mean, Jay Chandrasekhar and all those guys.
I play golf with him. He's a great guy.
No, he's the best.
He's a great guy.
So you have already this like cultish experience happening. And
with real filmmakers and actors and real people, which is the ironic thing.
Like real.
It was no experimental film. Once they had the money, they were making a movie.
They were making a movie. Right. And they got Rob Lowe. They got Linda Carter. They got great people for Super Troopers 2.
It's like one of the great success stories in crowdsourcing.
It is. So they end up doing, I don't remember what the name of the crowdsourcing platform was.
I think there's only one, right? Dave, hey, Wonder, super producer in there. Do you have any, what was the crowdsourcing, place? Do you know?
I mean, GoFundMe.
So,
it was a GoFundMe movie.
It was a GoFundMe movie.
Now, was the funding there before you got the job or was it kind of happening at the same time?
No, it was there before I got the job. And then, Jay called me. He got my number from Clifton Collins. I'd known Jay because we'd had a general meeting.
Jesus Christ, Emmanuel and our generals. You're 2 for 2 on generals. The second time we're talking about a general. You should go on more generals.
But wait, but Kev.
People just see how awesome you are and want to work with
you. No, you're the best. You're the best. No, but Kev, you're going to laugh so hard because Jay, he calls me and he's like, yeah, he's like, listen, so we're making Super Troopers 2 and, you know, there's a role and it's like a French girl. And I think, you know, like, I think that you would be great. And I'm like, Jay, you want me to do Super Troopers too? Like, I'm not funny like you guys.
Well, it's a different kind of comedy.
It's so broad. It's right. So big. Also, by the way, it's like the lead, Brian from Succession.
Oh, yeah, Brian Cox.
Brian Cox. I'm working with Brian Cox. This is pre-Succession.
By the way, that's intense.
Epic. Huh? Epic.
Jesus.
So Jay is like, I'm basically convincing him all the reasons I'm not right for this movie.
You're doing everything to try to talk yourself out of the job.
100%. Right. And Jay is like, Em, do you think maybe you could just read it and let me know? He's like, I really, really want you to do this. And I go, yeah, but Jay, I go, like,
so
if I
offer.
Like it.
Did you read?
No.
You
so I say to him,
offer,
I had the offer.
Look at you.
No, because on the phone call, I go, okay, Jay, all right. So if I read and I respond, then what? That's why I said to him. And he goes, it's yours.
Oh, he said that. Like, I'm calling you to offer you this role.
Yes.
Don't talk me out of it.
That you're talking me out of.
I'm going to offer you this movie. Read it. If you would like to do it, I mean, that's great. By the way, you should go on more generals. That's insane.
Oh my God.
That's
you should insane. Be my manager.
I should. I've been involved in contract negotiations with you before. I really have.
You really
I
have.
Was, by the way, I got borderline illegal with things that I was, the spying I was doing for you, Em. I'm like, yo, they already got a bunch of scripts written. Don't be afraid to press them a little bit. Don't be afraid to press them.
Before you move on, Kevin, though.
Thanks, Dave. Look at you.
Which is really cool. I just looked it up. So, Super Troopers 2 cost $5.7 million, and $4.4 was raised off of GoFundMe.
Wow.
Right. And I made a bunch of money, and I think it's one of like the...
It was number one opening night.
Right. It's like the success story
it
of
is
the crowdsourcing.
Yes, you very know.
I think
much
Veronica
so.
Mars maybe did okay for itself as well.
Right.
It's so funny. We've been in each other's lives for so long. I'm now like recognizing these titles. Going like...
Oh, I remember that.
I got a late night call full of tears on that one.
Guys, I'm really not a crybaby.
No. But you
just
call,
when
you
I get angry and frustration or sad,
right.
I
get a call right when you cry. So I get. I've been on the edge of both of that. But hospitality.
Ah,
remember hospitality? I remember it was like every once in a while you just want to dig in to an indie and like you know what. Maybe this isn't going to be a movie that everybody sees, but you know what? I want to do this movie.
Yes, and it's an experience, and it's like creatively fulfilling, and that's what hospitality was. It was like boot camp. And
how so? What do you mean, like boot camp? Just in terms,
it was
of-
shot in 13 days. Right. You know, we were just shooting pages of dialogue every day.
Right.
One location.
That helps.
Beautiful.
I saw hospitality. I'm losing my mind.
Wait,
here.
You did?
I think I did. Didn't I call
with,
you
with Sam? Sam and I
think I saw it. Yeah, I saw it. Was I, would it be?
It was like a film noir-ish.
Is it on Amazon? Would I be able to find that on Amazon Prime? I saw that on a streamer, and I
probably
watched it. I called you. You and I talk so much, we don't even remember. I watched it, and I called you. I said I'm watching.
And wait, did I play like a really like?
No, this is. I know. Right? I know hospitality because I remember. You being on the fence and there was other actors involved. I remember the process.
Oh,
they
yeah,
we were flying somewhere. Jerry's wedding. So we were going to Jerry's wedding.
Oh,
remember
my God.
When happened?
Yes. And then, Kev, and then, lo and behold, it's where I meet Mr. Sam Trammell.
Right. Right. That's it.
Yeah.
That was it. But I remember...
Funny.
Were you not... I think there was some back and forth of who the actor was going to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Because
wasn't
they did
Wasn't Cliff...
Yes, you're.
Cliff Collins
oh
going to do
God,
it.
God, you're so right. It was Clifton who was going to play the cop.
He was going to play the cop.
Yes,
right.
And then he fell out. And then J.R. Bourne, who you met,
of course,
he
most
did
ripped
it.
Dude in the world. He's at the gym right now. As we speak, this guy.
And yeah, it was really cool. It was really cool.
All right, I'm going to ask you about a couple more. So the grinder, I also was the grinder.
Rob Lowe.
Grinder with Rob Lowe. So you did two episodes of that.
Yeah.
Right.
Which
no, that's I'm sorry, I'm getting mixed up with your credits. Shut Eye was you were a regular on Shut Eye, no?
Yeah. Yeah.
What was that? That was for Hulu. So you did 13 episodes of that, and that was, and it just what? It just didn't go?
Sadly, no. We did two seasons.
You did two seasons of that show?
I did, well, the first season and then the second season, and then I get killed at the end of the first season, which I always knew. That role, though, man, that was
so
such a
oh,
good role.
You were dead anyway.
I was dead, but right. Then they brought me back as a ghost in the second season.
Are you kidding me?
No.
was it a flashback or a ghost?
It was a flashback.
Flashback, please. Yeah. No, I remember because that was kind of a high end yeah. thing, right?
It was oh my God. It was Jeffrey Donovan and Katie Strickland were the two stars of it. Isabella Rossellini, Angus Sampson. It was a sick cast. And like, it was a really cool story. And I got to play like the dopest role. I was a shyster. I was like, I pretended to be a hypnotist, but it was all bullshit.
Right.
And I would con people. And I end up falling in love with Katie's character. And I'm trying to like break up their marriage. And we have this like torrid love affair. And so she's just like,
by the way, you just pitched the hell out of that. I'm like, where? This is amazing. You know, for most of us, learning a second language in high school wasn't exactly a high point of our academic careers. It certainly wasn't a high point for me. 4 years of Spanish, I didn't know anything. And as life would have it, I ended up marrying a Colombian woman who speaks Spanish. And now I wish I paid a little more attention in Spanish class. Now, thanks to Babbel, the language learning app that sold more than 10 million subscriptions, there's an addictively fun and easy way to learn a new language. Whether you're traveling abroad, connecting in a deeper way with family, or you just have some free time, Babbel teaches bite-sized language lessons that you'll actually use in the real world. Obviously, that's important for me because half of my family speaks fluent Spanish. Now, Babbel's 15-minute lessons make it the perfect way to learn a new language on the go. Other language learning apps use AI for their lesson plans, but Babbel lessons were created by over 100 language experts. Their teaching method has been scientifically proven to be effective. With Babbel, you can choose from 14 different languages, Spanish, French, Italian, German. Plus, Babbel's speech recognition technology helps you to improve your pronunciation and accent. Very important. So there's many ways to learn with Babbel. In addition to lessons, you can access podcasts, games, videos, stories, and even live classes. Plus, it comes with a 20-day money-back guarantee. Start your new language learning journey today with Babbel. Right now, get up to 55% off when you go to babbel.com/victory. That's babbel.com/victory for up to 55% off your subscription. Babbel, language for life. So you did a season of The Mentalist. You did a season of Shut-Eye.
Yeah.
How many TV shows have you been on as what you would call a regular, including Entourage? 7? 8?
Murder. Well, I'll tell you.
Murder in the First. Jesus Christ. That's another one.
I think that Entourage was my first one.
Probably.
Yeah. So Entourage, The Mentalist was 8 episodes. Murder in the First was a season.
And that just didn't go, right? But that was like a great job too. I remember you being pumped about that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that was really cool.
A good too. One. And yeah. It just didn't end up not.
And they did, I think like they did like 3 seasons, but it was, production was like messed up on it. It was like very problematic, but that was really fun. That was Kathleen Robertson and Taye Diggs. And then, so there was Murder in the First and then, The Passage.
Oh, The Passage.
That was
How many seasons was that?
One
and done.
But for that what
was that? Was that
have
a, that
been,
was a network, right?
Yes, that was Fox. And you know what?
I remember that.
It should have been picked up. Like, they made a mistake.
Hold on one
that
second.
Was a
Dave,
great show.
What are you pointing at? What?
So she was in an episode of Kung Fu, The Legend Continues.
Yeah, we already talked about that. If you weren't on Instagram, you would have known that. Stop pointing at me. You give me anxiety, you point at me. All right, Em. So, by the way, and maybe that's the one that we landed on, but in closing, and it's we'll put you on the spot because this one might be one that you would have to think about. But when you've done so many things, right, and it's like you've done so much, right, and people are going to want to talk about Entourage, mm-hmm. or people are going to want to talk about Zohan or whatever. Mm-hmm. Is there a movie or a show or some project that you were involved in that maybe didn't, like Passage, maybe didn't get the credit or didn't hit or didn't get the love or that you would be proud to show or you would recommend, like, hey, if you wanted to see something that I'm proud of that sort of kind of missed the mark, check this out. Is there?
Oh, I, for sure.
Right. Is there, but, and nothing that comes.
I mean,
to your,
I would say Shut-Eye for sure was a really good show.
Right. Like a high end Hulu show that could very well have done 10 seasons.
100%.
Right.
There was, I just blanked out. I was going to say a movie.
Passage was one, right? Well, Passage was another one.
Sure.
You would like to, it would have been nice to explore that, right?
It really would have been nice to explore that.
Right. Yeah. And so there's that. And then you feel, are you missing one that you wanted to talk about? Not Wrong Turn. I'm guessing Waiting. No.
No.
I'm Taking Chance. American Dad. God, you've done so many things.
It'll
come to you.
Next
it'll step. Because you got Hospitality, maybe, right? Because Shut Eye, Murder in the First, a lot of these things. You got, what happened? You got pretty bad COVID, huh?
So bad, Kevin.
Were you crying when I?
No.
No, you were almost crying.
I was.
I was
in pain. Well, the first night that I got it, like the day that
this is like a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. When I tested positive, like, Kev, I was whimpering. Right. Like, I was in so much pain. Like, you know when you're just like not comfortable in your body? I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning because I couldn't lie down anymore.
Absolutely horrendous feeling.
God, it was so bad. It was so bad. I said, the next time that anybody is in the least bit like glib about COVID, I'm going to knock them in the mouth.
Right.
Like, shut up. Maybe you were lucky.
Right.
Okay.
But you got long COVID, maybe longish COVID. You just got hit hard.
Hit really hard.
You know, it's funny. I was like, I know how sick you are. And I was like, she's going to be concerned that I'm actually calling because I fired in the call. I know I got a 30-second timer on this call before I start to lose you. But if you need anything, we were ready.
I know you were so sweet. And Zulai were so sweet. It's just like you're just so sick. You just don't have the energy. Well, you know, you've had it.
I know. But truthfully, like, knock on wood, I was very lucky.
Mm.
Whatever, I wouldn't get into the politics of like vaccinations or whatever. In my opinion, it softened the blow of my COVID, where I probably could have. If it wasn't COVID, I wouldn't have missed a day.
Yes,
said kind of a runny nose and like felt a little shitty.
Right.
But you got walloped.
But by the way, first time ever. And you know
first
what?
Time ever.
You know what's funny, Kev, is that I was thinking about this when I was like. Everybody used to be like, oh, you're not going to get it. You haven't gotten it yet. Oh, you're not going to get it. And then they'd be like, oh, you're one of those. You just have that like immune system. Like you're just not going to get it. And every time I would be like, stop it.
By the way, I'm very superstitious. Are you out of your mind?
You never utter those words. And sure enough, not only did I get it, but it like fucking walloped me.
And you're just coming out of it now?
I'm still listening. You can still hear it, right? And like
your memory's a little foggy.
My memory's a little bit foggy.
What was his name again? Denzel Washington. Oh yeah, that guy.
I'm so sorry. But you know what, too? Kev, like this afternoon before coming here, it's not like I leisurely took a nap. It was like I had to take a nap.
Right.
Like, I was like, I'm not going to get through the afternoon if I don't take a nap.
Right.
So like,
close my eyes. Yeah. Yes. It's like one of those things where you get ready, you get out of the shower, you're like, I'm good.
Yeah.
And then like by the time you get in your car, you're like, whoa, maybe I'm not as good as
what
I
can
once
I do
thought.
To energize myself
just
right
get back. And but are you watching anything on TV right now? Are you a Succession gal?
I am watching Beef.
Beef? What is that?
What?
What is Beef?
Kev, I've just made your life.
Is it on Netflix?
Yes.
What is it about?
Epic.
Beef?
Yes.
What is it? Pitch it to me.
It's
walk me through it. Don't no spoilers.
No,
but what
because
is
you're gonna ask me for the name. Okay, forget the names of the actors. Ali Wong, the comedian.
Okay.
First of all, the two lead actors are fantastic.
Don't want to put any pressure on you there.
So the two lead actors, they get in this like road rage fight.
Oh, the kid from The Walking Dead.
Oh, is that who it is?
Yeah, he was the kid.
Korean guy?
Yeah, the Korean guy. By the way, he got nominated for the Oscar last year. Steven Yeun.
So, unreal.
You know, I watched the trailer last night and I was thinking like, you know what? Interesting, right?
Kev,
you're saying the road rage triggers the whole series of events.
It's a whole, but.
How many episodes?
Here's the thing. I actually don't know.
Is it a limited series?
Finished it yet? No.
Dave's at 10. Dave said it's 10 episodes.
It's 10? So I think I'm at like episode 7. But what's really cool too, you'll really appreciate this, is that it's also this awesome look into like Korean American culture.
Right.
So it's really, it's so well
done.
Well,
it makes it different and it's interesting and real.
So different.
Right?
It's so real.
It's like a different.
And like them with their elders and like all these things. And
it's a whole
different
ballgame.
But in LA, Anyways, you will love it. It is brilliantly directed.
Is it a thriller?
No.
What would you categorize? I'd say it's
like
a drama.
It's like a dark comedy.
Oh, so there are comedy elements to it.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, it's Ali Wong.
And it's all based on.
Is that her name, Ali Wong? Yeah.
It's all based on one incident that's in the trailer.
Yeah, it's like one incident
that sets off.
It sets off a chain of events. It's so good, Kev.
Now, is it a one-off? Well, is it like a thing where there could be a season two?
Oh, I think there could be a season two.
There could be a season two.
Oh yeah.
See, you know, Kevin, you will like it because the comedian.
This thing of you pointing at me is weird.
Mm-hmm. The comedy element she's talking about is they literally go out of their way to interfere with each other's lives, and they do it in a very funny way.
Yes.
Right, like they dial up, they dial the road rage up to the next level.
You'll see. Right. Literally, you're gonna text me and you're gonna be like, thank you.
Really?
Yeah.
So, enjoy. Yeah. You're welcome.
You're welcome.
Watch Beef. I almost watched it the other night. It's so hard.
I know, there's so much.
I get so tired. By the time I get home.
You got the two beauties waiting for you.
The beauties. I got playoffs. I got hockey playoffs. I got all kinds of shit going
on. Oh my God, wait. While I have you, can we talk about your thing with the Islanders on Instagram the other day?
Yeah.
That was epic.
It's content play. Yeah, you know.
I was like, this is amazing. I'm here for it.
Right. By the way, you were the first comment. You were definitely the first comment. Yeah, it's funny. That's one of the things that I miss about Doug not being here, because Doug would have absolutely lit me up for the first 10, 15 minutes of this podcast. Dylan would be like, what's she talking about? Dylan would have no idea. But, big game for the Islanders. Uh-huh. They're flying me back in. They're flying me in to watch the game.
Wow.
And they TNT put a mic on me.
Oh, my God. Right.
So.
How dope.
Well, 2 hours is a long time to wear a hot mic. You don't know. Who knows? Other people. I don't know. I felt, you know, as an actor, for people listening, when you're wired for sound, you have a battery pack. But you can always pull out the plug. Yeah. This one was like duct taped. Like. It was just
like shit's not moving.
You're wired. It's just like you're talking and it's being recorded.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So, and again, not that I'm saying anything, but still, it's, you know, there's a couple other people who start talking to me and I would like pull open my lapel and be like, yo, I'm wearing a wire, bro. Like Wolf of Wall Street. But I was like, I knew they were going to put me on the big screen. And I was like, I felt like I had to do something. So I chugged the beer.
Oh my God, it was so good. It was so good. I was like, shoot, that actually made me want to be there.
Yeah.
It was fun.
I was just like, fun. I gotta do something for
Wait,
content.
Can we just talk about one thing?
Yeah.
Because you know, you really
talk
are,
about everything. What, Dave, how long are we going for so far?
66 minutes.
Oh, it's lovely.
Oh, it's long.
Lovely.
It's
oh, long, yeah. Right? No, it's good.
Okay,
it's
wait.
Good.
I just want to say this because you are so charmingly self-deprecating. You are.
Thank you.
I just watched the trailer of Ramble On.
Oh, you did? I can't believe you haven't seen the pilot. Have you not seen anything?
No, I haven't seen anything. You know, when you get cut out, maybe you just don't.
I love that Doug calling you. Like, listen, Em, Betty, you hear it from me. Funniest thing about, you want to hear something? You know who else got cut out? Kennedy.
Oh.
Doug calls me to watch the new version of the pilot. And he says, now I want you to not react. When you watch this pilot. And I'm like, it's a weird thing to say. I'm like, what the fuck? Jesus, I got nervous. Watched it. I called him. I'm like, what's up, man? What? And he's like, well, I'm like, it's great. What's he's like, nothing jumped out of you? I was like, Doug, what are you talking about? He's like, I cut Kennedy.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, yeah. Well, no, I mean, listen, whatever's best for the pilot. If you didn't feel like Kennedy, my infant daughter, you broke multiple... child labor laws.
That's
with.
Hilarious.
But yeah, Kennedy
and I got chopped.
They say, hey, Kennedy, no, listen, if you want to be an actor, here you go. You got cut out of your first job.
You got to get cut out sometimes, which I've done that. I got cut out of AI with Steven Spielberg. I got cut out of Todd Solondz.
By the way, this is crazy. We talked about this. Did you listen to Adrian on the podcast?
Not the whole thing.
Okay. Did you hear the AI story about Adrian?
No.
Adrian got an offer to do AI. And he had to work as a local hire. So he was out here. He put himself up for like,
oh my God,
put himself up for a couple months. And then like day before he had to sign for his sides and he had one line and he had been putting himself up in LA for like 3 months working as a local hire. And
no.
He had one line, which is like, I'm in, or I'm like, let's go.
Are you serious?
Yep. It's just, and again, like we talked about it on the podcast, Steven Spielberg probably don't even fucking know, have any idea.
No.
You know what I mean?
No, it's like zero about zero. I mean, the experience was cool.
Somewhere along the line, just like so wildly disrespectful to do to anybody in any field of any work.
They invited us to the premiere and didn't even tell us that my shit got cut. Like, does it get worse than
How
that?
Is that possible? Hey, listen.
And love I had a scene with Jude Law.
We'd love to have you at the premiere. Thank you. FYI.
Yeah. Yeah. Hello. Whatever.
Fire off the warning shot to the relatives.
Shoo. Anyways,
well, there's the, you know, the story about Adrian Brody with The Thin Red Line. You know, the Terrence Malick movie.
Mm-hmm.
He was like the lead of the movie. And he shows up at the premiere and he's like, I mean, he was in it, but like they just went on a different storyline. It's like, you're telling me that they didn't call him to say,
God,
like,
that's so rude.
Well, he got the last laugh with the old Oscar nom, old Oscar win on the pianist. But yeah, like,
oh, this is Adrian
Brody. Yeah.
Brody.
Adrian Brody. But just disrespectful. It's so blatantly disrespectful
so
to do.
Disrespectful. But hold on. Okay, you're taking me off my thing.
Why wouldn't casting even do that?
Mm-mm.
All right. So go ahead. AI. What happened?
No. So I watched the Ramble On trailer.
Oh, the Ramble On.
We're talking about you. And it is fantastic. Cannot wait to see it.
Yeah. Did they send you a link?
You are amazing in the trailer. I feel like, I don't know what was going on with you. I feel like, listen.
I'm much more comfortable in my own skin.
I love working with you. Always have. We've had like an easy, it's always easy. It's real. It's no brainer. You're so grounded in this thing. Like, I just saw it in the trailer. I was just like, whoa, what's happening?
And you know me, I'm pretty modest guy. I'm a humble guy. I've never been a better actor than I am right now as we sit here. I know that sounds weird. And
no,
it's
it doesn't
weird
at all. No,
mouth,
no. But I really want to like describe that. Like, I want to unpack that. Like, that's so awesome.
Yeah, I just I don't know. Somewhere along the line, something shifted. Now, by the way, I'm not saying anything crazy. I'm talking about like in terms of myself,
terms
of being comfortable and sort of having a better understanding of what I'm doing. But yeah, I'm more confident now as an actor than I've ever been. It's weird because I don't really act anymore. But when I do, I have a different, you know, different kind of way about me. I don't know.
I mean, listen, I would say that there's something to be said for when we feel grounded and safe in life.
Right.
We're able to put our best foot forward easier.
Right.
We just are. When we are...
Something about that age when you're... so much is up in the air.
Totally.
And it's hard to really settle into kind of
absolutely
who you are.
And I mean, listen, you're a father, a partner. You have an amazing partner that supports you in a whole other way.
Right.
All these things are contributing factors. And like the truth is, you know, that's the beauty of getting older, right? Is that like at a certain point, our experiences are our wisdom.
Right.
And there are confidence.
Yeah.
At a certain point. For you're like, oh no, I remember that.
No, I also, but no, I'm saying like even now, like if there's some job that I'm like, you know what, I'm just going to put myself on tape just for the fuck of it. I almost will do it for just the fun of doing it.
Good.
And I'll be like, I'm going to try to do something that's going to like be like a fence, like just going
like
for
bold.
It. Just bold. Yeah. Wearing weird outfits and doing whatever it is, like going, dialing it up a notch.
God, so let me ask you this. Would you be interested in acting again?
Yeah. Yeah, for the right thing.
For the right
thing. I just want to make sense in some capacity, be it financial, and then for my family. Like, I don't know, do I want to up Kennedy up? Do I want to pull Kennedy up and move her to Vancouver for 10 months out of the year? Of course not, right? Does everybody have their price? Of course. So it's like, not like seeking that, but for the right thing here, like I realize that, you know, when I, you know, Lucas Haas and I always talked about this. You know, I was acting, and not to say that I'm like some thespian, but I was acting for fun before I knew that it was a career or there was money involved.
Mm.
Always did it because I liked it. And now I just have more fun when I'm acting because I don't feel as much pressure.
How did you do it when you were super young? Like just What was that? What did that look like?
What? Yeah,
like doing it just for fun.
Well, I would tell people, it's funny, I think this is sort of like the competitive side of me, but as a very young kid, I would key in on the room shrinking. And I liked it a lot, a lot. Like a lot. It's what drove me as a kid.
And you're like,
hey, you know, I was here for the first time and there was 30 kids here, right? And then you go in the second time and there's 10. And now we're here and there's 3. I always got a weird thrill as a young kid out of advancing to the next kind of phase or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, so, but that, but you know, and when you taking the pressure out of it and acting for fun, it's just better for me. It's better.
If we can find the joy, man, that's what it is.
Yeah.
I think when we lose the joy,
right,
it's like, well, why the fuck are you doing this?
Right.
It doesn't make sense anymore.
Yeah.
Because the most interesting things to watch are like, when people are able to lose themselves and enjoy, it could be the most dramatic thing ever, but that the process, they were in it,
right,
they were loving it,
yeah,
makes for a powerful performance.
I did this movie for Disney that's coming out.
I remember.
And
with Zulai. In this Atlanta.
Yeah, it's a banger. You've not seen me do anything like this before.
It's but it's a Christmas movie that Kennedy will be able to watch
forever with Ludacris, and I'm like,
that's
basically
so
like
awesome.
I'm basically like Santa's like head elf, which I had never really realized until I went to looping the other day. I went to ADR the other day, and I'm like, am I the head elf? The head elf.
Wait, Kevin, I had no idea.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. That's well, because it's funny. The good thing about the movie, it's called Dashing Through the Snow. It's coming out obviously Christmas, but it tackles all the questions like, how does Santa Claus get to every house?
Yeah,
right. How is that possible? How does he make toys? And the idea is that Santa has satellite stations in every major city. Cute. So I was running the New York. It's the head elf, the new, I guess.
That is so cute. Yeah. I can't wait to watch.
Oh, I saw the ADR. It's crazy. It's like, but I know myself and I can see that I'm enjoying myself.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
See?
Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. And then I did this other crazy movie with where I played Jesus Christ. Did I tell you this?
Oh my God. Wait, with Heita.
Who?
Heita.
Who's that?
Heita is she's from Holland. An actress from Holland. I know this. I know this.
I went to Amsterdam.
Yeah, you went to Amsterdam. She's from Amsterdam.
Shot one day in Amsterdam.
Wait, that's crazy. I saw it on her Instagram and I was like, did you work with Kevin? She goes, no, sadly I didn't. And then she said, but he played Jesus Christ. Yeah. Ha ha ha.
Yeah. I'm like walking around like, Jesus, I'm going like, am I going to be in trouble in church? I did. That's why I was asking you about, because this movie is, it's like, it's about shooting a hole in Christianity, but it's a farce. It's like a comical thing. So it's funny, but at a certain point when like, you know, certain things are happening, I'm like, am I in trouble here? What am I doing? Am I going to land on the big guy's radar?
I can't wait to see that.
Yeah. It's Alicia Silverstone. Cool. It was cool, but it was like, hey, you know, come out and you like play Jesus. And you're like, well, that's the worst idea I've ever heard. Let's do it. Right. Like, I'm like, what is
did
Jesus?
Did they put a thing on you, a beard and a
robe? Did I not send you these pictures?
No.
Oh God, I'll show them to you. You're going to fucking, I walked out of there and I was like, whoa, I maybe a short Jesus, but I looked like Jesus nonetheless.
This is epic.
Oh, the other thing too, they called and, when they called, I happened to be growing out my facial hair. So I just like had a couple weeks head start. So I have like
great.
A full
like
beard.
A bushy beard.
And the craziest things, I haven't, Alicia Silverstone and I go way back, 92.
Oh.
I was at the premiere of The Crush. I've known her
amazing.
For that long.
Amazing. Okay.
But you know, life happens. I haven't talked to her in 20 years, whatever it is. I fall asleep with my ear pod in. And strangely enough, I was listening, don't think I'm weird. I was listening to the prayer app. Fell asleep. Like 4:30 in the morning, I hear Alicia Silverstone talking to me in my ear pod because she left me a voice note and it came through the ear pod. And I was like, wow, this is a weird dream. I had a dream. And then I looked and it was a message.
Oh my God.
Alicia, like, hey, these guys want you to do this movie if you want to do it, but I'll show you the pictures.
How fun.
It was fun. And I was like in Amsterdam for a day and then I had a day off. I mean, it was absolutely
a perfect day off in Amsterdam.
Yeah,
that's a fun day.
Different than it probably would have been back. A little bit different day off than it was
right.
Back in the day. But yeah, right. So we'll see. So yeah, I mean, I like acting now. It'll be funny or interesting to see what happens. What are you going to do for the pandemic? Not the pandemic, the strike. I mean, you got a million things, right? I mean, no. You're just going to hang.
And... No, I actually have nothing.
I mean, you have a lot of busy personal life.
I have a busy personal life. Well, and you know, there's a little film that Sam and I want to do together in August that we're also producing. It's a tiny little indie. So we had to push it. We were going to start on May 18th and then we pushed it. So hopefully it'll go in August. It'll be like a 2-week shoot.
It would be terrible if it was unable to go in August.
I know.
Well, you figure you have to back it up. So I don't know where they are, but you know, you have to prep it. Right. So
no, but ironically, the reason that it got pushed, it's not a rewrite thing. We'd polished the script before.
Right.
The strike.
I'm not gonna tell anybody. I'm not wearing the TNT wire.
No.
Polish it before the strike.
No, but for real, the reason we're not shooting May 18th is because Sam's going to do another movie.
He's got 82 other jobs. Thank God we didn't pull up his IMDb.
Oh my God.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Well, Em, thank you so much.
Oh,
I love you.
That was so fun.
I mean,
love
that was a
you.
Long episode. That was the deep dive.